All right, this is April, May 27th, and this is questions and answers.
This is April 27th.
April 27th.
Good evening.
Good
evening. Well, here it is, already the end of the month. We're going to start a new month, and next month's topic is going to be the law of attraction, and we'll do that for the month of May. This month, of course, was worry, shame, and guilt, and forget it. And I put out a paper on worry today, so we'll do that later. But at the beginning here, Rhoda, I would like you to turn to Amy and say, I can create. I can create reality. And I can choose the reality that I'm creating. It's a long one.
I can choose
the reality I'm creating. I can create reality and I can choose the reality that I'm creating.
I can choose the reality I'm creating.
I can create, and I can create reality, and I can create the reality that I choose.
I create, and I can create the and I create reality, and I can choose to create the reality I'm creating.
Choosing.
Go for it.
I
can create.
I can create.
And I can create reality.
And I can create reality.
And I can create the reality that I choose. Yay! Very important to realize. All right, I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question. Does anyone know what life really is? We know that it's magnificent. We know that it's a wonderful experience. We know all this thing. But what is life really boiled down to? What is your life boiled down to?
Being.
Well, yes, it is a being, but that isn't all life boils down to, and your life boils down to choice. What are you choosing? That's all life is a choice. Are you going to be happy or are you going to be miserable? It's all up to you. Here's a wonderful little quote from our dear friend Albert Einstein. There are two ways to live your life. One, as though nothing is a miracle. The other, as if everything is a miracle. You have to know that everything is a miracle. I had some trouble with my computer, and I had a very nice young man come, computer expert, very intelligent. And I got to talking to him, and I said, I saw this wonderful thing on glaciers on television. And I thought it was absolutely life-affirming, and I thought it affirmed that there is an intelligence in the universe. Because as these glaciers are going back, the water underneath them that's melting from them goes underneath them to lubricate them so that they can come forward. But there's all kinds of other things. There's great big holes in glaciers where all this water goes, and you cannot go to the bottom of this hole. And the man says, who's doing this documentary, we have no idea where that water goes. We have no idea where that water goes. Then it showed it sloughing off and doing different things, and as it washes up on the shore, all the beautiful sculptures that it makes. And I look at that as sculptures from the universe, sculptures from God. And I look at everything as though there's an intelligence behind it, a supreme intelligence. Because if I were thinking glaciers, would I know enough to let it melt and let the water run underneath it to lubricate it so it could move forward? I don't think I could do that. So I look at everything as a miracle. When I look at myself, I look at myself as a miracle. I have no idea how to make a hand. Say, if I made a hand, would I make the fingers different? Would I know enough to add a thumb so that you can go like this? Or would I make all fingers the same? There has to be intelligence behind that that realized that you needed a thumb. There are many animals that have hands, but they have no thumbs. So they can't do, they can hold and stuff, but they can't do what we can do because we have a thumb. You see, to me, that is a miracle. So you have to look at your life and everything around you as a miracle. That there's an intelligence behind all of this. So he had seen the same program, this computer expert. And I said, isn't that wonderful? Don't you think that that means that there's an intelligence somewhere? He said, oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's all random. I did not bother to get into a discussion with him. That's his opinion. That's the way he wants to go through life. Allow him to do that. If they don't have eyes to see or ears to hear, there's nothing you can do. You can get angry and try to force it on him, your opinion. But it's only my opinion. But I love looking at it that way. I love looking at it that way. You know, when they were doing tests on DDT, they put floating things in the ocean at a very low level to see how this DDT was affecting the earth. And what they discovered is that there's a current at the bottom of the ocean that runs the whole way around all the oceans and comes back around again. And that is what keeps the temperature the same, so that one isn't hot, one isn't cold, and all that. Now, guess how long it takes for that to go make one complete cycle? 2,000 years. 2,000 years it takes for that current, but it moves along. You see, something bigger than I am had to come up with this stuff. You know, we think we're so smart, and we are. But are we that smart to think, oh, I'll make an ocean, but I better remember to put a little current in there that goes around and takes 2,000 years to do? You see, I think I may forget those little details. But this thing called God, or this thing called the universe, doesn't do that. Doesn't do that. So how do you want to look at life? As a miracle, or as just something random? It's your choice. All life is a choice. Your individual life is a choice. Your feelings are a choice. You're the one that's constantly choosing how you wish to feel. It is a mental world we live in. A mental world. And it's by using your mind that makes your life. With that, I would like Rhoda to tell a cute story. We're always talking about the movements of your mind and how your mind works and what your mind does to you. And that you must become a witness to your thinking. Otherwise, your mind can drive you crazy. So with that, Rhoda, tell your cute story.
Well, it's really amazing how the mind works. Now, Christine and Jerry got married about 10 days ago, and in the Baton Topanga, and Dallas and I went there together, and he did the ceremony. It was wonderful. And then they had a lovely lunch in their backyard, and they were sitting, they came to our table, and Dallas started talking to Jerry, and he said, I would like you to come to dinner. I am going to make you the most fabulous thing. And I'm sitting there, and my mind goes, how about me? I should be invited to dinner, too. And it was so funny. I could just watch myself doing it, and no matter what I said to make logic out of it, of course, there isn't any logic. Even when I said, well, he doesn't have to invite me, but meanwhile, my mind is going, and it's going. And it was really funny, so I figured, I don't want to sit in this stuff, so I was telling him about it. And we were laughing about it. And he said, well, how do you know you're not going to be invited? I said, that has nothing to do with where my mind is. You know, what the actual facts will be. That doesn't matter. But it was just so funny, and I could laugh at it. It'll look away.
How can you see? She became a witness to her own thinking. She realized that she was not her mind. Her mind was just doing that. Now, she could act on that and become very angry, and we could no longer be friends. She could have said, I'm not going to talk to him anymore. How dare he not invite me someplace? So when your mind does that and you have all these things going on, you ask your mind three questions. And the three questions are, is it right? Is it wrong? Or I don't know. And it's always going to be, you don't know. See, we never know. But the mind likes to tell you that you know. The mind likes to tell, would have wrote it with a left at go and wouldn't have started to lay up and notice the movements of her mind and become a witness to that thinking. See, once again, it could have destroyed a relationship. She could have said, oh, well, he doesn't even like me. How dare he not invite me? So, you have to watch the movements of your mind. That is what this whole teaching is about. Watching what you're thinking. What you think about, you bring about. You must learn to think the thought that you want to think. You must learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel. I'll be with you in 1 minute. So, with that, let's look at this. This was on Sunday, and it's called Worthy. You'll need both of those. What I want to point out here is, I'll read it quickly. I am a creation of God, therefore I know and accept that I am worthy of a life of health and abundance. I am ready to achieve my full potential. Not being critical of the way I look or think, I do not judge myself according to anyone else. I am a unique creation of God. God creates good and only good. I am as good as I am right here, where I am, fulfilling a role that no one else can fill in the exact way that I do. Just as I value myself, so too do I value all others. We are unique individuals, and each one of us adds important value to the whole in what we offer as ideas and creativity, dedication and exploration. We are God's good in expression as we are where we are. So God created mankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. What I want to point out here is, I am not critical of the way I look or think. I do not judge myself according to anybody else. Don't judge yourself according to anybody else. You see, most people are trying to live up to an image for somebody else. That is not living your life. That's living somebody else's life. Be proud of who you are. You're an individualized expression of God. You're the only person that can fill this place that you have. You're here for a very important and special reason. There's something you have to do that only you can do. That only you can do. So you are unique. Remember that. I like to tell people that you're a unicorn. You're one of a kind. You're the rarest of the rare. Remember that. Also, I want you to see, so God created humankind in His image, in the image of God. Metaphysically, God created. Inwardly, we are created in the image of God. Because we do not look like God. God has no looks. God is not a human being. God is not anthropomorphic in any way. But we are created inwardly in the image of God. Meaning what? That we have God-like qualities. And we can choose to use those qualities. We can use those qualities. How many times have I used the analogy? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Meaning, you came from God. God is the tree. You are the apple. You have the exact same qualities as the tree that you fell from. And what do we know about an apple and an apple seed? It grows into a tree. It grows into a tree. That's why you can say, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. And realize that right here and right now, you are growing into a tree. You are growing into God. This is what it's all about. And use those qualities. Use that choice. Give yourself that choice. Let's look at this worry thing a minute. The only thing I'm going to point out here is two things. Worry is not created by external events or situations, but by how we perceive those events and situations. It's always going to do with your perception. What are you thinking about it? How are you perceiving it? The event itself does not matter. And anyone who has seen an accident, if there are three people who see an accident, each one sees it differently. It's through your perspective. Why is that? Because we do not see with the eyes, people. We see with the mind. We see with the mind. And here again we have our dear friend Albert Einstein, who says, you can't solve a problem with the same mind that created it. You can't solve a problem with the same mind that you created it. And let's talk about worry a minute. And there are techniques on here. You can take this home and read it, please. There are different techniques for worry. Now, Andy is going to tell us one that he used with another student of ours called Michelle. And this one works also quite well. Andy.
Michelle was in the process of trying to get a new house to move into because she had leased the condo that she owned. And she was very worried about it, and we were talking about it, and it was very clear to me that there was no problem, that she would find the house, and that, you know, even if she didn't find it in the time she wanted to, she would not be out on the street. She had plenty of friends. She had so much possibilities. It was amazing. And yet she wouldn't let go of this worry. And I asked her, I said, can I just borrow your worry for a while? Why don't you just give it to me for a while? I'll hold on to it. I'll take care of it. If you want it back, you can have it back. And she agreed to do that. She let it go, and then, like, within 5 days, she got the house she wanted. And just as I knew it wouldn't be a problem, it wasn't. And she hasn't taken her worry back yet.
That's good, because you probably lost it.
Anytime that you're worrying, you set up resistance. When you set up resistance, you cannot manifest what you want. It will not come through the resistance. You must get rid of worry. You must know that you know that you know. You see, you cannot say that God is good and God is all and God is always taking care of me and then start to worry. You just blew God right out of the water. So if you start to worry, sit down and remind yourself of that and say, what do I really believe here? Do I really believe there is such a thing as God? You can call it God, you can call it power, you can call it energy, you can call it Harry. God doesn't care. But you have to care, and you have to say, because it's done with your perspective. Do you want to see a miracle, or don't you want to see a miracle? You're the one who has to decide that. It's all done with your perspective. It's done with your perspective. And it starts with you always. And what does it start with? The knowledge of what? You're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. See how fast people learn this dance? I should become a choreographer. Okay, we're going to open this up to questions, but one more thing about life, and it's a choice, and it's a mental world and all. It's done with your focus. It's done with your intent. It's where you put your energy. Where thought goes, energy flows. So where is your thought going at the present moment? Because wherever your thought goes, there you are. You see. So, here's a little one. If it feels good, I give it my full attention. If it doesn't, I don't look at it at all. You see? Only look at things that make you feel good. Only look at things that are beautiful. Remember the garden? Ah, gorgeous. The dump heap. Why would you want to look at a dump heap? Many people choose that. And then you're living in the dump heap. Put your focus, put your energy, put your thought where you want it to go. Where you want it to go. See? Put it into money. How many people today have said money, money, money? Yes. Say money, money, money as much as you can. That focuses you on that. Has nothing to do with being greedy or anything else. And give up that too. That's like worry and shame and guilt. There's no such thing as greed. You know, you cannot take something from somebody else. It's an impossibility. So, use your mind. Focus your mind. Become a witness to your thinking. And your life will change immensely. All right. We're open for questions.
I get a call that my 85-year-old uncle, okay, had colon cancer. He went into the hospital on Saturday and had a successful operation to remove the tumor. They gave him an epidural. And Friday afternoon, he was complaining that his legs were getting a little numb. They said that's the result of the epidural. Friday night, he said, my legs are still getting even more. Saturday came along, he said, I'm losing feeling. By Saturday night, now they're really concerned. Before they were concerned. They do a test, a CAT scan, they said, well, there's no blood clot, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they had a helicopter him up to a medical center. 2:30 in the morning, my cousin gets a phone call, says, I have the worst news for you. Your uncle, your father, has a blood clot, and it's went against his spinal cord, and it has paralyzed him for life. It's irreversible. They had a bit of that. So I'm talking to my cousin, and I'm listening to this, and I didn't really know what to say, but in my mind, I'm thinking, how did an 85-year-old man, this wonderful guy, attract that? You know, he went in for a simple he went in and had a successful operation to get the cancer removed, and then he gets paralyzed because of an epidural. So a freak thing that can only happen, it's like 1 in 100 million that this could happen. And as I was talking to my cousin Frankie, and he's very emotional, and I'm lost for words because I don't know what really to say to him. Because I'm thinking to myself, in metaphysics, we attract everything into our life. And I'm thinking, I could tell him your father had to attract that to some degree. And yet I didn't know really what to say.
Here's what I would have done in a situation like that. I would immediately refute it that it's irreversible. I would say that the life of God is running through that man and that the life of God knows exactly how to dissolve that blood clot. But when you make something final, when you come to a conclusion, it becomes that. You took the word of a medical person because you thought he was an expert. And he said it's a slim chance or whatever, and it only happens 1 in 1 million times. Let it happen someplace else. Don't buy into that. Immediately go in to treatment work and know that your uncle is going to walk again. Why would you take that prognosis? God didn't say you'll never walk again. It was a doctor. Does anyone know what MD stands for? Minor deity. Minor deity. But you think it's major deity, and you think, oh, the doctor says that, so it must be true. And you immediately put it in your mind, and your cousin put it in his mind. Get that out of your mind immediately. And then start to see that tumor or that blood clot dissolve. Start to see your uncle the way you want to see him, up and walking. You see. But we immediately go to that and never worry about that thing. One of the things in metaphysics, and especially with new people that come into metaphysics, we love this to say, oh, I created that, and I drew that to me, and this, that, and the other thing. Get all down on yourself. What is done can be undone. And that's as soon as you draw something to you that you don't like, you immediately say, well, I don't want that. And you step out of it. See, it's Christians, people, who stay. You see, if a Christian makes a mess, it's all around them. They live in that mess. If a metaphysician makes a mess, he goes, whoops, mess. And steps out. Never live in the situation. Don't live there. See, you're allowing your uncle to live in the doctor's opinion. That's only an opinion. See. Medicine is not an exact science. It's not an exact science. Why can't that blood clot dissolve? Where did that blood clot come from in the first place? Let it go back to the nothingness from whence it came. Don't take that. See, start treating now. Mm-hmm. But give up that idea. Oh, how did he do this? How did it? Where is that ever going to get you? By saying, oh, how could he attract an 85-year-old man? How could he attract that twin? We don't know. I have not the answer for that. But I know what's done can be undone, and I know that we live in a field of total possibilities. So why do I want to pick the possibility that we'll never walk again? Why don't I pick another one? What did we just say tonight? I create reality. And I can choose the reality that I'm creating. Choose the reality that you want. And choose the reality that you want your uncle to live in. You see? But don't ever do that to yourself or to him. Oh, how did he draw that upon us? We don't know sometimes how we do that. And it could be something very minor. And it could be nothing. It could be nothing. Many times, okay, I'll say it. Many times we learn about the law of cause and effect. So when an effect happens, we just grab any cause. And sometimes we don't grab the right cause. So know that you can't always change something. We don't know that one. Does that help you?
Mm-hmm.
I say.
Yeah.
But don't slip into that. Amy.
Oh, I was just going to comment on something that you were talking about before about being a witness to thinking. And I've had two people in my life that are doing, there's certain patterns they're following. And I observed where my thinking was going about two of them, two very important people in my life. One is my ex-husband, one's my boss. And they're both not responsive immediately on my time when I'd like that to be. And my thoughts immediately go to sort of almost indignant that they're being disrespectful to me and considering me, all this one really has nothing to do with me. And if I can witness that, which I have, and then sort of say they're doing the best they can and this is not about me. But it's really interesting, and there is sort of an exercise of me having to grow from this,
yes,
to let them go and be as they are.
Yes.
But it's something that goes to my core.
Yes.
You're not paying attention to me. Me.
Yes. Because that is one of your core beliefs. And I will tell you, because that happened with her husband, she drew that boss to her. Because the boss had to have the same personality as the husband. Because that's her core belief. People do not pay attention to me. See? So an affirmation is, I'm highly pleased with myself in the presence of others. And that's how you change that. But a core belief will always draw to you. I can tell anybody who you're going to marry. I can tell any of that stuff As soon as I know what your belief is, I know what's going to come. And I know that your boss has to mimic your husband. And that boss will keep mimicking that husband until you change your mind. Do you see? Do you get it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. The universe is very precise. And it puts in front of you what you need to know. And that's why you must come and become a witness to your own thinking. What am I thinking that is causing this? And this has come into your life, and here's a wonderful affirmation when that happened. This has come into my life to show me how to release this so that it doesn't happen to me again. Otherwise, you will constantly draw the same thing. Now, have you ever known anybody? Let's say you have three different wives, and they're all exactly the same. They just have a different face. But they're all exactly the same because of the inner belief. You draw that person to you. You keep drawing the same thing to you. So you have to sit down and change that. And you forgive yourself, and you have to learn to laugh at this too and say, my goodness, look, I've done this again. And then you let it go. But you're in the process now of letting this go. After Wednesday, I will tell you that everything will be all right. Okay? Any questions?
I have a wonderful, dear, close female friend of mine. She's both physically and spiritually beautiful, a good Christian girl. And she... What? Well, why is that funny? Sorry. Anyway, she is looking for love. And she'll go out, and she doesn't have opportunities to get out of the house much because she's caring for a lot of people. And she wants these certain kind of guys, and she doesn't get them. She never, ever gets them. She gets guys instead that want to use her for her body and things like that. And I've been wanting to give her advice, but I don't know how to tell her she's attracting the wrong kind of people all the time. And, you know, attracting the guy with the right looks and the right, have the same beliefs in her, instead of the guy that's really nice and he's cool and everything, but the second he says, hey, let's, you know, do whatever, the sexual, that she'll do that, you know. And we've talked about it a lot, and I don't know how to address it. And she's always asked me for my advice on it, and I just keep saying you're attracting the wrong people in your life.
Worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. She doesn't know that.
Yeah.
So
she's hard on herself.
Yes. She doesn't know that. So you must learn to love her and show her that in a nice way. And she'll get that eventually. Any time that you're in trouble and things aren't working, go to those four things. They'll always pop up. They'll always show you where you're off. You see? Yeah.
Right.
Try that with it. But always love the person. Have compassion and love for everybody.
And then help, you know, they help them love themselves. So
yeah, absolutely.
They can be loved properly.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's how I know so far, so hopefully
right.
It work.
As soon as she loves herself, she'll stop that. Yeah. That's destructive behavior. See? And anybody who has destructive behavior does not like themselves. They don't know that they're worthy, deserving, totally level one, that they matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
About worry. Like you were saying, when you worry, you stop that.
The resistance. Worry puts up resistance.
Okay. So my question is, I'm totally aware when I go into that, and I've gotten a lot better at it, but... Because I can just feel my energy, just everything stops. I'm just like paralyzed.
Yes.
So my question is, and what I try to do is, you know, I try to, you know, say a prayer and do certain things to get past that. My question is, what if I just can't? And so I just kind of fake it till I make it in a way. Like I just try to observe my thoughts, kind of like what you were saying, like, oh, look at me, look how I can't let it go. You know, and I just kind of do that thing. And so I guess I'm just wondering, is that good enough?
Oh, absolutely, it's good enough. we always start with the premise that all things are possible with God. And then the next thing that you do, if you're having that worry thought and something isn't working and you can't stop it and so forth, you say to yourself, I cannot do this, but I know you can, God, and I'm giving it to you. Saying, you keep thinking you have to do it yourself. There's very little that you can do yourself. Turn it over to God. See, this is a burden that I'm having, you say. I have this burden. I can no longer carry this burden. So I'm tossing it to you, God. Then I toss that and watch it go up in flames. See, to have worry thoughts is a habit. That's all it is. But you cannot worry. You cannot say, all is good and God is good, and then worry about something. See? Doesn't make sense. You have to know that you're always moving from your good to your greater good. That you're always moving from glory to greater glory. And whatever the appearance is, do not look at the appearance. Look at the thing that you want it to be. Things only become different as you start to see them differently in your mind. It's a mental world we live in. A mental world we live in. Questions? You must have a question. You're new. New people always have a question. Like what are she talking about? Jess, no question? Oh my goodness, I must be clear. Anybody else? Questions?
Did you say you must be clear?
I must be clear. Thank you. No questions? Yes, go ahead.
I don't know if it's a question.
Pardon?
I don't know if it's a question.
Well, we'll decide.
You know, I opened my gallery last Saturday.
Yes.
And I've been working on it for, you know, months, 6 months. And it was packed. And all these people were there, and it was amazing. And I spent all my money doing it. All my money.
Yeah.
And I didn't make any money. So I know that, you know, it takes time. It's a start, and I'm really proud and happy that I got to that point. I'm like ecstatic.
Yes.
You drive down Santa Monica Boulevard. There's a huge poster of me right there. And like my friend is like, you're like Angeline now. There's a poster on Santa Monica Boulevard. So you know, it's good, and it's promotion for me. And I'm, you know, all this time I've been like, this is the right thing to do, but I had to go to the bank this morning, and I'm like, oh my God, I only have not enough money to pay my bills. So, you know, I went from this, like, I'm experiencing both the greatness and then this, like, oh my
euphoria.
God. Euphoria. What have I done exactly? And is this the right thing? And maybe I shouldn't have spent all that money, and I, you know, was positive and, you know. So I'm just kind of scared.
All right, let's analyze this a moment. We're going to go back and we're going to change some vocabulary. You're using words that you should never use. I've told you this 100 times. You can never say, I've used all my money. No such thing. That's an out and out lie. You haven't used all your money. You go home, there has to be money in the sofa somewhere. So you're telling yourself a lie. Then you're telling the universe that you used all your money. You see? No, money is always freely circulating in your life, and you always have a divine surplus. And you always have enough money. When you go to the bank, you have enough money. You do not have enough money. Get rid of those two words from your vocabulary. Then, know that you did a very good job, that you spent all this money, that everyone had a good time, that you did a top-notch job, an excellent job. You did not skimp in any way. You did your part, fun and entertainment. Now ask God to do His part, ways and means. You're saying you have to demand it coming back to you. You did your part. You did your work. So money is coming to you. You have to immediately know that. The gallery is going to be a success. I did my part. I did all that I could do. Now, God, you do your part. You see, you think you're in this together. You're never in it. Right, you think you're in this alone. You're always in this together. You're always in this with God. Remember the story? The big department store, Lord and Taylor. And people think that it was a Mr. Lord. There was no Mr. Lord. Mr. Taylor went into business with God and called it Lord and Taylor. Go into business with God. God never fails. Therefore, you cannot fail. When you put money out, as soon as you put that out, did you say to yourself, all this money I'm putting out is being multiplied and coming back to me? Keep doing that. Every time you spend money, remember that you're planting a seed. And that seed has to grow into something. You just don't throw money out. It's called seed money. You're seeding. And these things are going to take root and grow. So, you must learn to change your vibration, change your attitude now. You see, if I was God, I'd stay away from you. Be happy. Say, I did a wonderful job. And I know that it was a success. Start feeling that feeling of success. It's done with feelings. To make a demonstration, it's done with thought, feeling, and emotions. Thought, feeling, and emotions. But feeling is the one that you want to capture. How does it feel to be successful? Now, do you see that gallery, people walking in all day long? Do you see little red stickers going up on the artwork and being sold? You have to see all that. Why? I am a creator. I create my reality. And I create the reality that I choose. So choose a reality where money is coming to you, not a reality where I spend all my money. Never tell yourself that you spend all your money. First of all, it's always going to be a lie. It's always going to be a lie because you're going to find it. You're going to put on a coat and find a dollar bill in it. You're going to look in the couch and find money. Always you're going to do that. So you cannot never say, I've used all my money. You understand how that works? You can't do that. If you say that, then that's the reality that you're creating. That's the reality that you're creating. So, who was it? Pretend. You were the one that used the word pretend. We used to have a saying in the 70s. It was called fake it till you make it. We talk a lot about pretend. We talk a lot about visualization. All these things you need. But with any pretending, with any visualization, you must have a feeling. You just can't sit there and visualize and pretend something without conjuring up the feeling for that. It's the feeling that the universe, the language of the universe is feeling. The language of the universe is feeling. The universe communicates in feelings. Therefore, God communicates in feelings. That's why God is universal. You see, if God only spoke German, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? You see, we'd be in trouble. No, I don't understand English. But everyone on this planet, every human being on this planet, has the same feelings. The same? Universally. If you smile, people know you're happy. Doesn't matter who you run into, what language they're from, what culture they're from. If you smile, everyone knows, oh, that guy's a happy guy. If you frown, they know that. If you cry, they know that. Feelings are the life of the organism. Feelings are the language of the universe. Get a feeling. Start seeing yourself successful. Start seeing money coming to you. Get happy. Get enthusiastic. Get enthusiastic. See? and you'll draw all that to you. Does that help you? Yeah. And when you go to the bank, you know, there's tons of money there, and they want to give it to you. And they want to give it to you, and they will give it to you. I would tell you, the time I walked in, and went $20,000 for a car. They gave me the $20,000. I bought the car, and they called the next day, and they said, "How did you get $20,000 out of us?" I said, "They said we never finance 100%. We never finance a car 100%." I said, "Well, you just did." And they said, "Well, you'll have to come and put 10% or 20% down." I said, "No, I have the car. I have the money, and you make the deal."
Because
money is never the issue.
I make a deposit at the bank, and they always ask, "Is there anything else you'd like?" And I said, "Could you add a couple zeros at the end for me?"
Yes.
You ask.
Yes. When you make that deposit, did you write on there, "God bless and multiply this money quickly"?
No.
God is money. Is God in action? You must see money as an energy, not as a piece of paper floating around. It's very powerful energy. And when it goes out, it has to come back to you. And it comes back to you by saying and stating that. God bless and multiply this money quickly. Anything that goes out comes back to you. Never begrudge paying bills. When you pay a bill, it's God in action. How do you think God is going to feed all those people at the telephone company if you don't pay your bill? Money is God in action.
What's the feeling with God bless and multiply this money quickly?
The feeling of excitement. My goodness, I can't wait for the harvest. I can't wait to see this harvest. I can't wait to collect. Sow and ye shall reap. And see it. Oh, and feel it coming to you. And then what am I going to do? Oh, I'm excited about this whole thing. But your energy went down when you were telling the story. As soon as you said, "Oh, I used all my money. I used all my money." Now, do you think this intelligence, this thing called God, this creative force, wants to use you as an instrument when you're... But when you're excited, don't you think God wants to come at all? God helps those who help themselves. That's exactly what that means, people. You have to give a little to get a little. You have to come up with a feeling. If you come up with a feeling, the universe will match you. The universe will match you, but most people are sitting around waiting for a feeling to hit them. I am here to tell you that a feeling is not going to hit you. Feelings are manufactured, and they're manufactured with your thinking. Feeling always follows thought. What are you thinking? You say, you can get sad only if you start to think about your uncle. And then a feeling comes. So you don't want to be sad. Now you can change that. How do I? What is the whole tenet? I tell you this every other day. Somebody said, you say that a lot. If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Learn to think the thought that you want to think. And learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. We do not know that. We are not taught that. But that is the essence of this teaching. That is the essence of life itself, to be able to choose how you want to feel and not be a cork just bobbing around on the ocean. You are the one that's deciding each and every moment how you feel.
Just to follow up on what you said before, I totally get that I'm attracting people that are not responsive because that's the message. So, and one of the things you said was how to release it so it doesn't happen again, and that's the process.
Right.
Sort of, what's the feeling that goes with that? That I'm worthy of response, or that their behavior sort of is not about me.
Well, you must sit down and repeat, "I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter," and then really know that.
And just put that out.
And put that.
It has nothing to do with them.
You're only ever working with yourself, people.
Yeah.
There's no one else. I hate to tell you, there's no one else out there but me. Scary, isn't it? Scary. It's only me out there. Each and every one of you is some part of me.
If I choose that and I view their behavior differently because I'm knowing it's not about...
Yes. Right. But you're... Okay, I'm going to do this quickly. That core belief that you're carrying comes from some incident in your childhood, and you have never released that.
I haven't acknowledged.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So you must, you are no longer that child. You may have two if you want.
Okay. I have an issue that I've dealt with for a long time of, and I am learning to correct it, but in people that I work with, whether it be on their business level or whatever, I want to maybe run my business like them, or I'm inspired by them. That's a good word. I'm very inspired by what they do, and I start going in that direction. But I often get stuck up in comparing myself to that person, or being compared to that person. And it's destructive behavior because they might be on a level up here, either as a person or in business or whatever, and I'm going up that direction, but then I start getting the destructive behavior of comparing myself to others and not so much being an individual or feeling good about myself when I might not be blessed with the same amount of talent or... Do you understand what I'm saying?
All right. First of all, you are blessed with the same amount of talent.
Right.
You have the exact same amount of talent as those people. They have just discovered it and you haven't.
Right.
And they're using what they have discovered. Now, all business is run by imitating another business. You open a McDonald's and a Wendy's pops up. And they imitate each other. Because there's no sense. And this is where most people run into trouble. Everyone wants to reinvent the wheel. If the wheel is already there and working perfectly, don't reinvent it. So if somebody's really successful, find out how the hell they got there and use their technique to get there.
Yeah, that's how it is.
You use it differently. You use it uniquely in your way. Doesn't diminish you in the least. Any smart person watches how other people does something and then they imitate that till they learn how to do it on their own.
Yeah.
Can you see that?
Yeah. No, I've always...
But never diminish yourself by saying they have more talent than you do. I have another friend that sits on my right hand that sometimes comes up with that same conclusion. Always place yourself around people that are more intelligent than you are. Always place yourself around people that are more successful than you are. If you stay with the same people, you will stay the same. Doesn't mean you kick them to the curb. You have people in all different stratas. But if you want to learn something, you have to go to somebody that knows more than you do. And then you learn that.
Yeah.
But you don't say, that person has more talent than I do, or that, why am I working with this person when they're so much more intelligent? If you're around somebody that's much more intelligent, you're around them because your intelligence has drawn you there. If an intelligent person talks to you, do you think an intelligent person carries on a conversation with an idiot?
No.
No. So therefore, you must be intelligent also, or they wouldn't be talking to you. So what is it always going to pour down to? You must know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You're saying. And didn't we go back to this? Not being critical of the way I look or think, I do not judge myself according to anybody else. Never judge yourself according to anybody else. Be your own person. You are a unique, individualized expression of God. You have, each and every one of us has exact same qualities. We are choosing which ones we want to express. And we can choose to express them all. We can be exactly as talented as anybody else. But we say we're not talented. That person was born that way. No, that person worked. There isn't anyone who got where they were by not working hard. And we think, oh, they were so, that just happened to them. It did not happen to them. They worked for it. And that's what you must do. Everyone wants to get out of hard work. Don't. You're here to work. You wouldn't have been given hands and legs and all these muscles and so forth. You were just supposed to sit around doing nothing.
Oftentimes when people talk about manifestation, they talk about the allowing or the excited anticipation or the expectation.
Yeah.
But then another component is detachment.
Yes.
And that almost seems like those are opposites.
Yes.
Or conflict. Can
yes.
you resolve that?
Yes, I can. You, what was the first one you said?
Excited anticipation.
Oh, excited. You must stay excited and you must anticipate what you want. And you must always live at the level of your demonstration. I've said that before. Once you give a demonstration, I am very wealthy. Now you can't go back thinking poor thoughts and you can't go back living poorly. You have to raise your vibration. You have to raise your thinking up to the demonstration, to the manifestation that you just want to come into your life. You must learn to live at that level of demonstration. And that's what we don't do. We give a demonstration and then we don't do anything about it. You see? So you stay with that enthusiasm. You stay with that feeling. You stay with that vibration. You live at that level of demonstration. There comes the excitement. There comes the anticipation and all that. You detach yourself from all the things that are pulling you back, holding you back, and all the negations that are going into your mind. That is what you detach from. You don't detach from what you want. You detach from what you don't want.
So I read that it was like, I think it was Deepak Chopra, he talked about you detach from the outcome.
You always detach from the outcome, because this thing called God can give you something even better. That's why we add that tagline, this or something better, or to the best of all those concerned. Because I don't care if you can think of the most fabulous thing that you want, and do think of the most fabulous thing that you want, but know that this thing called God can think of something that's even better than that. And when you get to that better, you won't remember what you wanted. Because it's so grand. It's so grand. And that's what it means. We have to detach from the outcome, because if you know the outcome, you're directing God. You're directing the energy, and you cannot direct the energy. You can channel it. You can tell it which way. But you cannot say, and this is exactly what the outcome has to be. Because there are too many possibilities going on out there. Too many possibilities going on out there. But keep in mind what you want and see what you want. And it will come in front of you. That's a law. It's an immutable law of the universe. It has to happen. It has to happen. Did that help you? Deepak Chopra is a very prolific writer. I'll tell you a cute story about Deepak Chopra. He was at Yale Medical School. This is way back when he wrote one of his first books. And of course, doctors, and still today, do not believe in the body-mind connection. You see, that's why they just slice your body all up, because it doesn't have anything to do with the mind. Your body, your consciousness, everything is one. You can't have a body, a mind, and a spirit. They're all combined together, people. Don't put yourself into all these different departments. But anyway, back to body-mind. So a doctor came up to him after his lecture and said, "Now, what is all this about body-mind connection? How can you prove that there's a body-mind connection?" And Deepak Chopra looked at him and said, "Wiggle your toe." Your toe does not wiggle by itself. You have to give it a command from the mind, body-mind connection. The body has no causation of its own. If it did, your legs would get up and walk away from you. No causation. All is mind. Mental world we live in. A mental world we live in. So, it's a mental world we live in. We are not our minds. Our minds are ours to use. And all life is a choice. How do you want to see yourself? Do you want to see the garden? Or do you want to see the dump heap? Learn to choose what you want. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.